is Davin's Den.
We are back.
We're
back. Same assholes as always. Davin with Joe and Pip, who can't wait a goddamn second. Only been doing this shit for a decade. They can't let me like bring in the segment until they got to start yamming. Because they don't get enough time to talk on this show.
No.
And like we just had like a whole break where they could have like, yammered anything they wanted to yammer to each other. We're the only people who are paying attention.
Just making a comment about the music on the
Or you could wait till I come back. And everybody hears the music, and then you can make your little pithy comments. But I guess you guys are new. What could you possibly know? I'm sure another 10 years it'll sink in. I'm sure if you guys, if I just give you as much time as our troops were in Afghanistan, you guys will get it.
Oh, God, we're going to be in this basement for another 10 years.
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. Assholes. All right. Tell you about this one. We'll stand your ground. Story. This was a Pip's blog, so we'll let her get first crack at explaining it all to you. All right. Family members of Milton Roberts asked a Lucas County Common Pleas Court judge for the maximum prison term Monday for a Toledo woman who shot the man multiple times as he allegedly burglarized her home. By the way, can I just stop right there and say, what a lovely paragraph. No difficult words in the whole stream. No, nobody with fakakta ethnic names. Just straightforward shit I've seen before. Thank you.
Oh, there was that one night where they were just like you specifically knew you were going to read the story.
Yeah.
With you.
Oh, yeah, they were making stuff up. They had names that were really long.
It's been many nights like that.
Let's have put a name in there with one vowel and 12 consonants, and let's see if Stupid can pronounce it.
And he can't.
Clearly.
Robert's older sister, Lorena Roberts, asked Judge Ian English on Monday to sentence Lanisha Walls, here we go, 25, to a maximum term of 17 years in prison for involuntary manslaughter for fatally shooting the man multiple times at her apartment in the 1400 block of Norwood Avenue on June 22nd, 2020. Roberts later died of multiple gunshot wounds, according to the Lucas County Coroner's Office. Family members of Milton Roberts asked the Lucas County... why did I repeat that? Here we go. Roberts later died... an angry young woman with a gun doesn't think rationally, Miss Roberts said on Monday. She had shot him once, but her anger wanted him dead. Well, that's what anger does. As he lay wounded, Miss Walls hovered over him and shot him again multiple times. Stay dead. And then she left the scene, leaving him dead on the sidewalk. No attempt to seek help. No remorse for what she did as she skipped away and sung a ditty. Now, Miss Walls, in my opinion, is a cold-blooded killer and does not deserve any more breaks. Like my brother who broke and entered. But anyway, I digress. Any breaks, really? Okay, that's a little... Miss Roberts added, claiming her brother's life had more meaning than the agreed-upon sentence of 6 years in prison. Maybe, but maybe he shouldn't go in other people's homes. The Lucas County Prosecutor's Office consulted with Mr. Roberts' son, Milton Roberts Jr., throughout the case, and he previously okayed the terms of the plea agreement on behalf of the victim's family, Assistant County Prosecutor Michael Boehner said on Monday. Both Mr. Boehner and defense attorney Adam Stone, again, beautiful names, agreed to go forward with the hearing, and Judge English sentenced Walls on Monday to an indefinite term of 6 to 8.5 years in prison. I just want to apologize to the family, Walls said, hang your head down throughout the proceedings. Walls was facing murder charges, which could have landed her in prison for life. Last month, Walls pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter with a firearm specification as part of the agreement the state recommended a 6-year sentencing cap. The judge said he understood the family's frustration with Walls' sentence. However, the updates to Ohio's law now requires prosecutors to prove a defendant did not act in self-defense, which is sometimes leading juries to an acquittal. I have yet to see the impact of Stand Your Ground, but there have been more people acquitted in the past year or 2 years than I've seen in decades in this courthouse, Judge Inglis said. The calculation of the sentence is not based on the value of the victim. It's evidentiary concerns. It is obvious that what happened here is wrong, and Miss Walls needs to be punished. It's not the punishment that gives value to the victim. It's the memory of the family it does. All right, Mr. Hallmark moment. So I put this out. What? No? Okay. I put this out there to the people, a poll. I said this was the poll question. A woman shot and killed a man who broke into her home. He died of his wounds, and she was sentenced to prison. Should a person receive jail time if they kill someone who broke into their home? I didn't put where he died. I didn't put that she was standing over him. Just I laid it out there. If somebody breaks into your home, is it all right if they die? Should she go to jail? 100% of people said no. She should not go to jail. 100% of people say, hey, you come into this house, it's on, motherfucker. That's what 100% of the people who answered. Now, this was Pip's blog. I believe it was called The Devil is in the Details. So yes. Have at it, Satan. And since you're Satan, Joe will be your advocate, as that he's wont to do.
Thank you, my minion. No, I. As a matter of fact, I have to issue a disclaimer. When the poll went out, I actually had a new friend of mine had felt the need to DM me and say, absolutely not. You know, like she was saying.
Did they vote? Well, yeah. Did you share it? I never seen you share the polls. Did you share the polls?
Yeah, I do share polls.
Oh, good. I didn't.
Do.
Oh, yeah. On the Instagram.
Yeah.
Joe, you got to pick up the slack with that. You're not sharing the Instagram polls. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I share the. Well, they go away so quickly that if I.
They're only up there for 24 hours.
Yeah, and if I miss it or something, and you know, it's
you gotta gone. You gotta be standing by your phone.
Oh my
You never know when I'm gonna send out something so important. And I try to do good by the music in it too. I make them creative, the Instagram ones.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when I see them, I share them. And my friend was like, "Oh hell no!" You know, she's not going to prison. I was like, "Okay, calm down."
Also, here's what you say: go listen. We're not answering it now. Answer the poll. Tune in on Tuesday. Yeah. Feel free to join the chat room, and you will be happy to take your concerns.
Right. Well, she's a new friend, so I don't think she got how it all worked yet.
Well, she'll learn.
Yeah.
So, listen, I'm glad she was interested.
Yeah.
I'm glad we moved her to comments.
It was provocative.
Yes.
And the thing was that poll, and to answer that poll, I'd be like, absolutely not does she go to jail.
That's what 100% of people said.
Yeah. I mean, based simply on those facts, you come in my house.
It's a limited amount of space I have, dear. You know, I can't put the whole story.
I'm just explaining.
You wind up tripping over something and getting killed anyway.
The avalanche will kill you.
If someone breaks into a hoarder's house, should the hoarder be charged with manslaughter?
Another show.
Murder weapon, an end table. He fell on the side of it, hit his head.
He died by dried cat food. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
Tender vittles. They haven't made this shit, you know, as long as we've been in Afghanistan.
Well, you know, the same way that if people get stuck in a corn silo, they're going to drown in the corn.
I guess. Yes.
Yeah, the kitty crunchies in my house kill you.
Yeah.
It's like a silo. Anyway, based on those facts alone. Absolutely. If somebody breaks into my house, I'm taking whatever I have to kill you. And I will not stop until you are dead because you are a threat to me. You're in my fucking house.
Well, you could argue that once you've incapacitated them, they are no longer a threat to you.
There's the argument. Well, there's the detail. Then when I started reading the article, and I don't know if this was poor journalism. I don't know if it was, you know, it was not laid out really well, but I was reading it.
I'm sure you could have hit the Google machine and done more research if you want. Joe's done that before.
No, I looked for other articles on it.
So they were all poorly written?
No, I couldn't find any other articles on it.
Really?
So, but I thought that the detail that she had shot him and then she stood over him and basically, like, emptied her gun into him, apparently. You know, I understand that the adrenaline has got to be, like, pumping like mad. You've got to be crazy angry and scared when somebody has broken into your house and you catch them and you shoot
them. Crazy, angry, and scared, the worst place Snow White went to. That was the first place. Did not have a good experience with those three dwarves. You know, so in comparison, you know, grumpy and dopey, not so bad.
Yeah.
When you run into crazy, angry, and scared. Like, she walks in, all of a sudden, she's got a Glock pointed at her. She's like, all right, fellas, let me back out slowly. What, Joe?
those were the dwarfs that Walt Disney left out.
Yeah.
Yes, it's like, they're gone now.
Sorry, fellas, wrong house.
Oh, they used to make cookies. They were so good.
Let me see what Goldilocks is up to. She's just dealing with some angry bears.
Yeah, I know, porridge and stuff. That sounds harmless. The thing is that the article said that she stood over him and continued to shoot him multiple times. And then there was the little detail that she left the scene and left him dying on the sidewalk. What was not clear was, did she shoot him, continue to shoot him in the house or were we outside already? But in either, so if they're outside and they're incapacitated, the thing is, we have this little detail that you have to be, we have to have jury trials before you're guilty. I know she caught him red-handed in the house, but you don't get to be a vigilante.
It was stand to ground. You kind of do.
In your own house?
Well, yeah. So he invaded her space. Listen, yeah. We've seen stand your ground not be in your own house. So you don't have, for stand your ground laws, you just have to feel threatened.
That's another story, I think.
Well, that's the law.
Yeah.
Depending on how the law is written, but it's not exclusive to your home.
But we're talking about right now, this guy was in her house. He gets shot.
And then he wasn't.
But then he wasn't. And so it's like, nobody knows what they're going to do until they're in the moment. We say, I would never. You don't know what you're going to do until you're in the moment. And you've got that adrenaline and fear and anger. All the bad dwarves show up. And I'm not trying to judge this woman. But the thing is, by law, once you shot him and he's down and he's no longer a threat, did she get to keep? Was she allowed to keep shooting him? And if he was outside of the house, and then she left him there to die without calling for assistance,
did he say that she didn't call for assistance?
Yeah, that's what the article said. That she
or she left him there not to call for assistance.
It said that she did not call for assistance. She left the scene.
Oh, well, really, in her defense, she doesn't need assistance. She did what she aimed to do.
Well,
you might want to call Sarah Teach. You might want to scrape this motherfucker up. I just emptied my gun into his ass. He will not be stealing my Hummels anymore.
Right.
And if it was outside, was the guy fighting back?
I know. Well, I mean, it doesn't. Again, we don't really know the details because one of the witnesses is dead. It is kind of weird, like the gut instinct says, as Pip said, you come into my house, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
But then I understand where the law has to weigh that out, go, all right, you can't go out, you can't follow them and keep on pursuing them, but then you're asking people to calm down pretty quickly off that adrenaline rush.
Right.
That's kind of a big ask.
It's a huge ask. But it like I said in my blog, you shot the guy.
That thing I write.
My words are gone, but I put some together. And what's that called? He's on the ground, he's incapacitated, presumably. It's not like in the monster movies where the monster goes out and goes, and grabs your
ankle. Yeah, but you know what? You wrote that.
Down.
You wrote that, but how do you know? You don't know. You know what? Because, we've all seen so many times on the movies on TV, where you go, all right, let me go make the phone call. Then,
they turn their back on the body.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know what? I can't really fault that shit.
Get out of the house.
She was out of
911.
They were all out of the house.
Yeah, well, I don't know at what point they got
out
of the house.
She panicked.
Yeah, I know.
But you know why she panicked? Because he scared her. And you know why he scared her? Because he broke into her house.
Yeah.
No,
I get that. This is a tough call.
That's why I did the story, Steve.
Right. I'm just saying that the difference, I kind of understand why the jury had to go that way, because the difference is between, incapacitating him and getting yourself safe, or standing over him, which presumes he's already, down and not threatening you. You could be saying threatening things, but you got a gun at him and he's on the ground. you empty your gun? I mean, it's tough not to do it.
Basically, what the law is saying is, listen, you can defend yourself, but we can't have the Wild West out here in this bitch. Which is asking... You're asking people to get their shit together. Hold on. You're asking people to get their shit together pretty quickly. But I guess legally you have to, because you know you're responsible for your own behavior. Still, let's say the law had to do something.
Yeah.
And none of us are well versed in Ohio law. So, but let's say the law had to do something. 6 years still seems like a long time for this.
It's a long time, but he did a terrible, stupid thing.
And he learned a lesson.
Oh, didn't he? To break into somebody's house. But haven't we all? No, I'm kidding. He did a terrible thing, and, a reckless thing, and he did pay the ultimate price for doing that. But it's still... as difficult as it is to try to control yourself, I would probably be gunning him down until he was like spattered all over the house.
And you got to remember something, okay? Unless you got a musket, okay, you can unload a clip pretty quickly. So if you're trying to end this threat, you got him down. Maybe he's struggling, and you pow 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 just to neutralize the situation. It's the same thing as say, well, shot him multiple additional times. Yeah, because you're unloading a clip and you can do it really quick and you're trying to neutralize the situation. So, maybe he looked at it that way.
It seems like they wanted to get this woman charged and sentenced. It seems like they wanted to. They knew if they went for murder, they couldn't prove murder.
Right.
I kind of feel like maybe she should have gambled. I kind of feel like, given what the judge said, that we've seen a lot more acquittals. I think she would. I think it's very possible if they went after murder, maybe she gets off.
Well, but she doesn't get to call what the.
Well, no, she made a plea.
She made a plea.
Right. I'm saying maybe she shouldn't take that plea. Maybe she should go. No, charge me with murder.
You know what? Maybe they told her, look, if you take this 6 years, you probably get paroled. You might be out in two, maybe a year or two. If you want to pursue this, it's going to cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in legal fees. Fees you probably don't have.
So yeah.
Doesn't 6 years seem a little bit excessive? Like, I know a man died. And listen, I'm not one for vigilante justice. But, couldn't we have done probation? I kind of feel like this isn't somebody out on the street who's looking for trouble and got carried away. She was defending herself.
You know what? Maybe that's in the cards. Maybe that was something that you do to 6 years, you'd probably be up for parole and you'll be out a lot sooner. Take the deal.
But what I'm saying is, I get she can't go off scot-free.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, do we really have to do jail time? Couldn't we do community service and probation? Yeah, a man's life was taken. Yeah, but the man was clearly in the wrong. She was scared. It wasn't like this woman was out there looking for trouble. It wasn't even like he snuck up on her in a parking lot.
Right.
He entered her house. If you enter my house uninvited, you're up to no good.
Maybe what they're trying to say is we do have the Stand Your Ground law. You are free to use it if you were in a life or death situation. But please know there might be consequences. There's a saying is if you're going to pull a gun, you better be prepared to use it. So in those situations, if you feel that your life is being threatened and there is no other way out, knowing the law, you know what? There might be repercussions. But the other case is I'm dead, and you move forward, make your decision.
Well, what the prosecution was saying is once he was incapacitated, there was no longer a threat to her life. That's what the prosecution is saying.
About it is, if you got a gun, you can unload a clip pretty quickly. And if you feel, two shots may be incapacitate him, but that clip is moving pretty quick within a minute.
But again, remember, he's no longer inside the house. So if he's inside the house, it's a lot easier to argue. Well, I'm still threatened by him. Once he's outside the house, you lock the doors, you call the police. That's what I'm guessing. Is the argument. It is a tough call. It's not cut and dry. I can certainly make the argument that if the criminal element knows, if you come into my house, it could be your house of horrors and nothing's going to happen to me. I don't know how many people it's going to deter, but it might deter some that go, well, you know what? maybe I don't need a Rolex. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because there are a million reasons why people break into houses, but a lot of times it's drugs and the desperation.
The family need. I understand the family's hurt, but they need to understand this guy was no fucking Boy Scout. He brought it up. He was looking for trouble. This wasn't Trayvon Martin who was walking home, which is the first time we heard "Stand Your Ground." Yeah. Who was walking with Snapple, a hoodie, and Skittles, and a rent-a-cop got a bug up his ass. This wasn't that. This guy was in her house.
The situation when I was coming home from the show years ago, when I went into 7-Eleven just to get some coffee, and there was this guy fighting with the clerk outside. You know, I'm on the phone calling the cop. The cops got there really quick, but in my head is, if the cops didn't show up and this guy turns on me, I have to defend myself and neutralize him, and if it gets heavy, possibly kill this guy. You know, your mindset in that situation changes. A cooler head has to prevail.
And for the record, Joe was armed with a dollar store banquet chicken pot pie, which could do a lot of blunt force damage to the temple.
If you're holding at that moment, my friend, you know, it turns on.
Listen, I would have loved.
If that turns on me, shit gets real, you know?
I would have loved the headline, Death by Chicken Pot Pie.
Frozen chicken pot pies can be deadly.
You know, when you get in that situation, your perception and your whole demeanor changes.
Sure.
Where it's like, I might have to defend myself, and if this gets really heavy, I might have to go. My attempt is to try to kill this guy.
They call it fight or flight. That's what they call it.
Oh,
fight
yeah.
Or flight.
You break,
which was the situation here as well.
You break into my house, I'm going full Gallagher on your head with a baseball bat.
Oh, yeah.
Done.
By that, she means she's going to cover you in a smock so you don't get anything on you.
Yeah, I'm not an animal.
No. And so it's a tough call. Yeah. I get she had to get some type of punishment. I still think 6 years is a lot for this, because you know what? At some point, you got to pay for being stupid.
She's never really going to serve the whole six.
No, they'll be parole on that. That's
yeah, but yeah. until then, they could be trading her ass like she's fucking cigarettes. You know, her life's never going to be the same. She was minding her own business in her own fucking house.
I know.
If you can't mind your business in your own house, again, this isn't out. This isn't a person looking for it, feeling like Dirty Harry because they have her gun and being over ambitious. She's in her house.
Right. The mitigating circumstances for me were that. At some point, they became outside of the house. And I don't know if that was, she shot him and he went, oh, shit. And he got outside, crawled outside somehow. And then she stood over him and kept blamity blam.
Listen, the law obviously wants to state that, the law obviously wants to say, listen, you could defend yourself, but you can't be an animal.
You can't go
it.
Nuts.
Sometimes you got to think. I mean, there was a couple of situations when that guy T-boned me last in the winter. And the guy was pissed off at me, and he tried to charge me. The two guys that held him back, and he was an older guy. And the thought went through my head, I go, if this guy gets loose, I'm going to throw him to the ground and not hurt him because I want him arrested, and I'm going to, I want him put in jail, or I want to charge this level. You know, so you got to play that angle.
Joe will neutralize the danger with puns. Joe will hold him in a bear hug and just a stream of puns until the guy goes, no more, no more, I can't hear no more. And Joe's like, no, I've had these saved up for 60 years almost. You're going to hear every single one of them.
Even at a gig, my buddy was playing a gig, acoustic gig, years ago, and there was some drunk guy, and there was a whole thing, and he wound up, I think they wound up punching the guy and stuff like that. So he was talking to us, and he goes, all right, man, at a gig, if some guy gets out of hand, tries to charge you with something like that, don't hit him with the mic stand, don't hit him with the stool, blah, 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 blah. So fast forward, I'm doing a mic, and I'm doing a mic at this brewery, and this guy is, like, out of hand, and he's rushing at me. And as he's coming towards me, I'm like, all right, I got to hit him with my fist if he gets closer. I go, if I use the mic stand, I can get charged. If I use the stool, I'm going to get charged. So luckily some guy jumped in and grabbed him and they threw him out. But that goes through your head.
Well, that's what the law wants. That's what the law wants.
I've got to defend myself, but thanks to, Joe telling me what I can do and I can't do. I can't use the mic stand. I'll have to use my fist as self-defense. This way, if it winds up in court, hey, the guy charged me. I hit him with my fist. I didn't use an object to beat the motherfucker.
Listen, if you charge me, it's on. because you don't belong on that stage. We're talking Joe's scenario here.
Right.
You don't belong on that stage. And we and there's that drunk power. You know, drunks are either very sloppy,
oh,
you can knock them down with a feather, or they have superhuman strength. I don't know what I'm dealing with here. So, and most people who would charge me are larger than me. So,
I had a couple of moments here or there when I was an audience member at one of Mr. Helix's shows that I, you know, I don't like, as a rule, I don't like being around people who are drunk past the point of reason. Not a little tipsy, enjoying themselves. People who are obviously gone into that other realm of, now I'm acting like a different side of myself. And they are unpredictable and dangerous. And I don't like being around people
like
that.
By the way, another group of dwarves. Unpredictable and dangerous. Poor Snow White. Until she found the seven dwarves. And they don't tell you this in the Disney. But she's just stumbling into dwarf home after dwarf home. And a lot of these dwarves are not the type of dwarves you want to stumble into. All right. Very good.
On all stories, there's the ten dwarves. Yes. The four dwarves you never knew.
All right. Let's do some turbulent air.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're gonna need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
Interesting approach that Delta is taking. We've seen this from airlines deciding how are they gonna get more employees vaccinated. United said you've got to be vaccinated by a certain date, otherwise you lose your job. Now Delta is saying if you're not vaccinated by November 1st, it will cost you. So here is the mandate, if you will, from Delta. November 1st is the deadline. Unvaccinated workers will be hit with a surcharge, a monthly $200 surcharge on their health insurance if they are not vaccinated. In announcing the new policy, Delta CEO Ed Bastian said the average hospital stay for COVID-19 has cost Delta $50,000 per person. This surcharge will be necessary to address the financial risk the decision to not vaccinate is creating for our company. If you take a look at shares of Delta, keep in mind that 75% of the employees are already vaccinated. What about the other 25%? That comes out to about 17,000, 18,000 employees. They are not vaccinated. So they've got 75,000 employees. The goal is to get as close to having complete vaccination for all employees. And that's why Delta is taking this approach. Quickly, also want to talk about American and Southwest. If you look at the four largest airlines in the U.S., you now have United and Delta setting vaccine mandates, if you will. But you haven't heard anything from Southwest and American. Both airlines say they highly encourage their employees to get vaccinated. But at this point, neither of those two airlines has made a decision to follow what we've seen from United and Delta.
Furthermore, unvaccinated employees will face other restrictions, including indoor masking, effective immediately, and weekly COVID-19 testing starting September 12th, the Atlanta-based airline said, announcing the policy. In recent weeks, since the rise of the B16172 variant, and they don't want to call it Delta variant like everybody else does. look at them getting all technical. Don't blame us for this shit. You didn't get this from eating a small bag of peanuts. In recent weeks, since the Delta variant, all Delta employees who have been hospitalized with COVID were not fully vaccinated. Delta also said starting September 30th, in compliance with state and local laws, COVID pay protection will only be provided to fully vaccinated individuals who are experiencing a breakthrough infection. Unvaccinated employees who contract COVID without exemptions will have to use their sick days after that. Delta, which has the fewest unionized employees of the U.S. of the large U.S. airline, said informed the Airline Pilots Association, their aviators labor union, of the changes. The union on Wednesday received dozens of comments from pilots, some who opposed the surcharge and others who applauded the measure, according to Delta pilot and union spokesman Christopher Riggins. About 8% of Delta's roughly 12,000 pilots are exempt from the $200 surcharge, even if they are unvaccinated, because they had previously elected a health care plan that comes with higher premiums. Aha! That health care plan had been negotiated as part of their contract. A change would require Delta to negotiate with the union, which said most of the pilots are vaccinated. The union has repeatedly said vaccination should be voluntary for its members. The union has consistently advocated to maintain the right of each individual pilot to consult with his or her medical provider regarding COVID-19 vaccinations or booster doses, said in a statement. While the Delta master executive respects Delta Airlines' efforts to mitigate the impact of breakthrough COVID-19 variant infections, it needs to bargain with the Delta MEC
over any employer-mandated vaccination files. Airlines have been among the hardest-hit companies by the pandemic, and the rise of the COVID Delta variant is also driving down our recent recovering bookings, according to airlines including Southwest, American, and Spirit. Listen, man, I said this was coming. I mean, I didn't know for a fact, but Pitt was like, well, is that really how the healthcare industry charges? Apparently so. Apparently the health insurance company's like, oh, no, you had somebody who was in the hospital? Boom, 50 large right there. I don't blame Delta. I don't blame any business because it's not like before the vaccine is like, ah, there's nothing we can do about it. If only there was some way to protect yourself.
Yes.
You got to protect yourself. Now, listen, maybe you can lobby and see if horse dewormer can be one of the tools to protect yourself. Good luck with that. But I don't. I said last week, it all comes down to capitalism. And that's what this is. Delta isn't making some type of horrific heroic stance. Delta's looking at the bottom line, which is what we love in this country. We love our capitalism. Well, Delta is in the business of making money. So if you love the way we do business, and I know a lot of you right wingers do, you can't be mad at the Delta. They're just passing it along. Now you can leave Delta. You can leave Delta. You can get an exemption, or you can be charged $200. Now the question is $200 a month really going to be enough to deter people if you're strongly against it? Probably not, but it certainly sends a message.
Yeah,
I think.
Go ahead,
I'm
Joe.
Sorry, Pip, I think I walked on you.
Somebody.
I think $200 a month is a little bit excessive. But I don't think what they're doing is out of line.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. How is $200 a month excessive if they're paying $50,000 a pop?
I just think it's. I think it's. You know, it may be excessive. But here's the deal. Looking into it forward, even maybe contradicting what I might have just said, is that basically, New York. Let's just use New York State law as the basis. The law states that if you get sick, your employer has to pay you. I think for up to 10 days, or I think for 10 days or whatever. So they have to pay out of pocket for that, even without the insurance. And now you have what it costs on the for the extra insurance premiums that the company has to pay. Also for the flight staff, you're working in a tube with recirculated air. Where all the passengers have to wear a mask, and if you don't want to wear a mask, well, you simply don't fly. That's the end of the story. So I don't think what they're doing here is out of line. It's a private company, their planes, their rules. You want to work with them or you don't, you know?
Well, you also forgot what I mentioned last week is besides paying them not to work, they have to pay the person who is working in your place. So, I mean, it's expensive. Like I said, there's a free vaccine. And you don't, as Joe just said, you don't have to get vaccinated. You just can't work for Delta, or you're gonna pay. Everybody has their freedom. We're all sovereign citizens here. Listen, you could play by their rules or you could play by your rules, but your rules might not go with their rules, and you're not being persecuted. They have freedoms just like you do. You love the freedom. This is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
This is freedom, and Delta is being free. Now, the interest, I think if I, most of the times we pick an airline because it's the most convenient from where we want to get to and where it's leaving from, or it's the most affordable. But if all things were equal with airlines, I would definitely fly with the airline that had everybody vaccinated versus the ones where it was like, we don't really know. You know, as luck may have it, maybe they're not vaccinated. If all things were equal, I want the vaccinated crew because, as Joe said, you're in a tube. There's no place to go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that we've talked many times before about people being on planes and you have this, you know, recirculated air. And I don't want to be in that little tube with people that haven't had the vaccine at the very least, you know.
Yep.
And I don't know. This is not looking very nice for Delta in another way, though. I don't like hearing this bit about how they're the company with the least amount of unionized workers. That always, like, touches off a nerve for me, saying, they don't like their worker bees having rights, do they, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then they're also talking about that a group of pilots aren't subject to because they negotiated a different contract.
Right,
So they
afraid. Listen, listen. I like unions too, but you don't have to work for Delta as a pilot.
Yeah, you don't.
You have options. You know, with a stronger union.
Yeah, it just seems like.
And you want to know something? You don't think this is, no pun intended, going to spread throughout the airline industry? I mean, the airline industry constantly high behind the bushes, looking at each other, seeing what they're doing with its rates and, you know, fuel surcharges and stuff like that. So if they feel Delta is having success with this, if you don't think American and Southwest and, you know, all these other airlines are going to jump on board with this, they definitely will.
It's like I said at the top. Nobody loves passing along fees like the airlines.
As Joe
said, all the other airlines are watching. I would assume many will follow suit. Listen, we're still paying a 9/11 surcharge. 20 years ago, we're still paying a 9/11 surcharge. A lot of times you're paying a fuel surcharge when fuel's low. It's not low right now, but we have had low fuel in the past few years, and you still pay that fuel surcharge. The airlines love them some fees. So if they can pass it on to somebody else, that's fine. Listen, as long as they're not charging me for that, you know what? Honestly, I'd feel a lot better if I knew everybody on the flight was vaccinated too, because there is no room. But you know what? Maybe that'll be a pre the vaccinated or the unvaccinated section. You know, maybe you pay $25 for the vaccinated section. Why not? You're paying an extra $25 for the legroom you used to get.
What good is the?
Yeah.
What good is the vaccinated section and the you're in a metal tube breathing the same
air? Yeah, but
you could
have spaces. You could have spacing.
But the thing with the airline is run like the army. You know, to give you an example, it's like you know how rambunctious I could be.
No.
Now when I'm flying next week, I'm bringing my mask because I have to wear it. I've got my laminated card. I've got my Excelsior pass. You know, with everything. I think, well, you need that. Yeah, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Do I believe in all of it? No, I think a lot of it's horseshit. However, them's the rules. You know, you want to fly, you fly.
Yeah, I do not want to be on an airplane anytime soon.
The scariest thing about it, coming home from Vegas, I'm flying on a Max 8, which talk about gambling. So,
but are those the ones that crashed?
They most certainly are.
Oh, good luck with that. What are you flying, Southwest?
Yeah.
All right. So in 2 weeks, we got to find another mic. Make a note of that.
and have the very special Joe tribute.
I was already putting the ad on Craigslist.
You're pushing.
It'll probably take 5 minutes after a break to do, but nonetheless, the
trick is... You're pushing it. I mean, really. Well, I just did a nice thing for...
Oh, but believe me. But I hope I'm looking down at the cloud at my service, watching you and Lenore trying to find nice shit to say about me. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Here's the problem. We've talked about your death many times, because it's a fun topic.
Oh, God.
Here's the problem. About saying nasty things about you. Me and Lenore know the truth. Most people, I tell you this all the time. Other, oh, Joe's a great guy, but like, he's not. They don't know you. They don't know you. So all of a sudden, me and Lenore are the fucking insult comics at your eulogy. And, you know, and it's like a kid show. We're the insult comics at the kid show.
Somebody would yell that out, and then you would look at each other and go, are you fucking shit?
Right, but we're the asshole. Lenore and I, like, even if we didn't exaggerate, even if we just told the truth, all those people, my, he was such a nice guy. Sure, when you don't spend time with him. if you're in a green room... Spend some quality miles with him. Have discussions about the topics of the day. I'm not saying he's Charles Manson. I'm just not saying me. Let's not make him a saint quite yet.
let me tell you something. When I'm down there running a pitchfork, I'm gonna look down and go, stop. Hang on, watch this. Take a break. Watch this.
No, it's hell stupid. You don't get a timeout to watch something that'll give you pleasure. What are you fucking thinking about?
I don't know what I tell him what's gonna happen, really.
He knows what's gonna happen because it's evil. He made it happen, stupid. You're not telling him shit he don't know. How dare you? The fucking audacity, and this goes to my point. You know, people think Joe is a nice guy. He thinks he's gonna fucking tell Satan what's going on. Have the fucking balls! The balls on you! He's the Prince of Darkness, not Ozzy, the other one. How dare you?
And I went through a divorce. There's nothing he could do or say that's gonna hurt my feelings.
I understand that. But you know what he can do? I got something. I got something for you. Again, you're tempting.
And I've also been a co-host on this show for 10, so that goes as well.
No, you know what he'll do?
11, actually.
You know what he'll do? He'll bring. He'll take. He'll strike down your ex-wife too, and have her share a cauldron with you.
Oh.
It's hell stupid.
No.
See,
no.
See, you better watch yourself. You underestimated Beelzebub. This is what gets you in trouble.
Oh my God!
She's just sitting there doing nothing like she always did. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be trying to sleep, but you'll be on a fucking bed of canned goods. Because it's hell stupid. It's hell.
It's reliving those wonderful moments.
I mean, but this is what I mean. Like Lenore and I know the fucking hubris this man has. He just flat out said he's going to tell Satan, hey, watch this. Like, he doesn't know what's coming. But again, most people, oh, Joe's a great guy, God-fearing guy. Nay, nay! No respect! No respect!
Wait a second. I have to jump on the bandwagon a little bit here, because Joe posted on social media a picture of a dog humping his leg, and he was making fun of the dog, and I'm like, no, Joe saw that picture and said, hold my beer.
For the Wonder Dog, and I nominated him for Dog Day.
But again, that's Satan's work. That's bestiality. Those who don't know Joe go, oh, look at him being the clown, giving everybody a laugh. The rep, but Lenore and I go, hey, he probably liked it. He probably fucking put a treat on his crotch.
Are you kidding me? He got an idea from that. Are we forgetting one of the most famous stories on our show?
Listen, I understand, but anytime...
It's like, you're mocking the dog? Please.
The dog walked away with a sticky tum-tum.
I know you do, Joe.
My baby.
I'm just saying. Joe has this fantasy of me and Lenore giving the eulogy.
That's
but
hilarious.
I'm going to have to pull her aside and go, listen, let me tell you how this shit works. You know Joe. You know Joe. I know Joe. You don't know all the other people that Joe knows. It's not going to be the right room for this. How about you? You got to read the room, Lenore. And, you know, we're Facebook friends now, so I'll message
you. And the funny thing is that you're going to go, friends and comics and musicians? And then Lenore goes, Plumbing industry here? Well, yeah.
No, here's what's going to be my final fuck you to Joe, which I think he would appreciate.
Oh my God.
Because he expects me to give him a final fuck you.
Of course he does.
I'm going to get up there to give the eulogy. I'm going to look in a nice suit. I'm going to be all respectful. I'm going to be cleanly shaved, ready to go, fresh haircut. And I go, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for gathering around for our friends, our relatives, our uncle, with our brothers, Death, Joe Curry. I know he meant a lot to many of us here, but I'm not going to prattle on. Now, please, welcome to the pulpit. Joe's ex-wife, Joanne. She has a few words.
Look at his face. It was priceless.
People are going to sit there and go, why is she so upset? She's Christ. She's inconsolable. He must be devastated. Yeah, because he left no insurance. Canceled.
So that's how I'm going to do it, Pip. That's how I'm... That
is beyond evil.
And then Satan's going to go, and you were going to tell me what was coming next? Bet you didn't see that coming, fatso. Now get on my pitchfork and let me burn your ass. Because you can't fuck with Satan.
Let me tell you something. I got to figure out, you know, if I do die, who's going to box and plant me and stuff like that. I got to...
Well, there's a list for that. There's a list to box and plant you, but I don't think it's something we should wait on.
Yeah. No, I gotta call Pine Lawn and get a copy of Let's Face It Now and start finding a place. There's a place by my parents' grave, which is right by a nice tree, and it's close enough for my parents where, you know, if they start fighting like they usually did, you know, I go, all right, I gotta go, you know, and I'm right down the street. You know?
Yeah, you know, the great thing about your plant, Joe, nothing will grow there again.
Usually when they would take a break from yelling, they saw they was trying to beat me, so it's like, you know, I gotta go.
I figured that if, you know, if anybody tried to plant me with one of those trees, the tree's not gonna grow. I've had too many, like, terrible foods, too many, you know, foods probably full of formaldehyde and God knows what. That tree's dead.
If Joe was fucking smart.
Yeah, I need some root coming through my box. Oh, for Christ, cramped enough in here. Now my root's coming through.
Like a root, like a root wants the feed going through you. Please, you hold yourself in too much esteem. If Joe was smart, though, he wouldn't stipulate for me or Lenore or Adam or Anthony or Joe Cumia.
Those guys ain't coming. They got shit to do.
How dare you think they're busier than me? Fuck you. What? You don't think he? You don't think he could be in between you two gigs? Fucking relax. Die on a Sunday. We'll bury you on a Monday. It interferes with nobody's schedule. It's fine.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God.
But don't do it on a Tuesday because it's show night. You should have a little respect.
Yeah, Monday's a dark night. Yeah, we'll do it Monday.
But if you were wise, you would not ask any of us who've known you and cherish you in one way or another for a long time, but who at our soul probably know you better than anybody and are a little wicked in our own right. If you were intelligent, you would ask our dear Pip Helix, because Pip, who, don't shake your head, you would not have the temerity to tell the truth. You would say nice things. You might struggle, but you would say nice things.
You might struggle. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
As long as it didn't get political, it would be a nice eulogy.
See, so that there's the move. The move is to ask Pip. It's not to ask me or Lenore. I mean, unless we're going to do it while you're still alive, and then I'm interested. But
if anything happens to you, I'll give you a eulogy, too. I'll walk up in front of that little box with the cowboy boots and the hat on top, and I'll go, look, what are you going to do?
Joe, the only way you're getting, the only way I'm getting, you're getting to my funeral is if I fucking booked it and I'm taking you with me.
Oh my god, Joe, it's a good thing that you didn't come here because both of your giant heads would crowd me out of this room.
Impossible. You do quite a bit crowding yourself there, dearie. Fucking relax.
And let me tell you something. Him and I would be both in hell, and Satan would come up. Right? Why aren't you guys all scared and stuff like that? You ever done Hansel's?
Ever done Hansel's? And then we look over and Doc and Mark are fucking each other on the pool table. But anyway, you were there that night, right, Joe?
Ever done Hansel's?
Joe, you were there that night where Doc and Mark were doing an improv sketch and it wound up to them like doing each other on the pool table.
I think I missed that night.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess just me. Anyway, good.
That's
Pip is traumatized. But anyway.
Listen, you know, the first time I saw us get apples thrown at us, I knew there was going to be more shit to come.
I'm just going to have to say, I'm going to need to talk to Lenore. Because I don't want to see that sweet, sweet woman play a hostile room with the wrong material.
Are you guys going to start having writing meetings too?
Yeah, you know, Lenore and I will work on some stuff. We should probably get started now.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's going to be diabetes and a heart attack.
Oh my, we're not running a pool.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah. I'd probably get another 10 years.
10? I got you 7.5, but we'll see.
Had his own hand. My mom died at 65. My grandfather died at 65. So, you know, we'll see if we can make seven. Now, however, my brother's 91. You know, my grandpa,
I think the real question is this, and then we shall move on. What will last longer, Joe's remaining days on this earth, or Pip's remaining days at this job?
it's a death match, literally.
If the state lives up to its reputation, it could be Pip.
So we shall see. I think both are a day to day.
Listen, I did 28 years at one place, and then I had some really.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what that's like. That's like the Super Bowl coach who won like a couple Super Bowls. It's like the guy who used to coach the fucking Cowboys, Jimmy Johnson. He won a couple titles with the Cowboys, and you know, oh wow, he's great. And then he never fucking won again. You know, and then it's like, oh, you know, he has the reputation, and over time, you get the diminishing returns. Pip, you were an all-star. Now you're a journeyman. It's fine. You know, you were the king of the hill, top-notch, model of consistency, you know, a gold star employee, and now, not so much.
Sometimes things change. I mean, when I started my last job, I loved it there for years, and then things started to change, and then me and the management weren't seeing eye to eye, and then, you know, they let me go. You know?
Yeah, that was the moment Joe didn't see eye to eye with them, when they called him into the office and said, you gots to go. Joe stopped seeing eye to eye with them at that moment.
It starts before that.
You know? Their place, their rules.
I thought things were going so well. What happened?
You know what? And also, I tell you though, even you know, like I used to be like you know, fight City Hall, but you know, do and I that fight is gone. You know, whatever. And there's a lot of things going on. A couple of lines I have that I disagree with. I think it's just not to get into details, but it's like whatever they want, fine with me. Fine with me. You know, I'm not fighting City Hall. Whatever you want to do.
All right, let's move on. Now that Joe is still with us, we must cherish this time together.
Yes, we should.
Because Joe's flying on a plane that's probably going to crash next week.
Stop!
It's a shame, but all we're going to see is former shock jock Anthony Cumia dies in airplane crash. Joe won't even fucking get a billing on the fucking death.
God, that you know, that's tragic and so dreadful.
I know!
It's not right.
Everybody will be mourning Anthony, and it'll be the two of us and Lenore. We're mourning Joe.
I love the funny thing that you got Anthony and I had less of a chance getting out of Vegas than we would if we were coming out of Kabul. Holy cow.
You're the one that said the plane was going to crash. You're the one that said, wish me luck.
Plane. He's flying a different airline in a first class in a pod. I'm going to be cramped up like a veal.
Joe, it was a joke. I know he wouldn't fucking fly Southwest, stupid. I know.
God, no. He's always fancy man, big pod, big comfy pod in first class. I mean, he jammed in like a veal.
It was a joke. Not saying you won't die. I'm just saying Anthony won't be on that flight. But let's move on. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
There's a show out there. The boss goes first class.
You know, Joe. Listen, Joe will be happy as long as he did well on the gig. You know, on the way down, Joe. Yeah, you know what? I had good shows. I can't complain. Good audiences. They liked me. I think I made my point.
Yeah, that's a good way out.
As it's going down, I would actually say that. At least I had a good gig. Let me tell you something. It's like when you work in the city. The biggest stress of doing a gig in the city is parking. If you get a parking spot, if that gig goes to shit, don't make a difference. I got a place to park in 5 minutes.
You know what?
Clear.
It's the little things.
Well, he's been doing this long enough. When you first start, you beat yourself. You live and die with every gig. Joe don't give a shit. He know those fucking drunks at the 10 o'clock show in Broadway Comedy Club aren't going to make or break his fucking career. The spot is the highlight. He doesn't even know why he goes in the city. I know. I've done it too. Why the fuck am I doing this?
Finding a place to park is the most stressful thing. And then when you find a place, you're elated. You could give a shit less how the gig goes, really.
And you should tell that to the audience. All right, let's move on.
When I'm doing that set, I'll go, I hope you enjoyed my set. I came in from Long Island. I hit no traffic. I found a place to park in less than 2 minutes. So I win.
All right, let's move on. Time is ticking. One of the largest hotel owners in the U.S. is charging some guests extra to use a swimming pool or gym, check in early, and get breakfast while cutting room rates in return, the Wall Street Journal reported. MCR Hotels, which says it's the U.S. fourth largest hotel owner-operator, added changes for amenities and services at about 12 of its independent hotels, company CEO Tyler Morse told the Journal. Guests have to pay $20 to check into the hotel early, and they pay a similar amount to check out late, Morris told the Journal. The swimming pool now costs $25 to use over the weekend, but it's free during the week. Guests will have to pay to use the gym and to eat breakfast, Morris told the Journal. In return, the hotels are cutting the prices of their rooms. Insider has asked MCR to clarify the reduction in room rates. Not every guest wants every product, and they don't want to pay for something they were never going to use anyway, Morris told the Journal. Among the hotels with the charge are the TWA Hotel at John F. Kennedy International Airport, in which Joe jumped into song with his sidekick, and the Highline Hotel in Manhattan. Industry executives told the Journal that hotel owners were also charging guests extra for daily housekeeping and for Wi-Fi. Hotels have been spending more sanitizing measures during the pandemic to reduce the spread of coronavirus, because before, we didn't give a shit. Yeah.
Not everybody carries a black light.
No,
but
exactly.
On.
Comforters? No, they for your comfort, not for your cleanliness. The only way to recoup these losses was to charge guests. Okay.
Yeah.
It shows the consumer is willing to pay for it, and for years we've been giving it away. Giving away this Wi-Fi and color TV! Just giving it away! Offering cheaper room rates on travel sites by charging for these services would save hotels money overall, as the sites wouldn't take a share of those fees. Greg Friedman, the CEO of Peachtree Hotel Group, told the Journal that he was interested in saving cash this way, but that he wouldn't implement the strategy anytime soon.
The whole industry, if the brands bought into it, everyone would accept it, he told the newspaper. We see what the airlines do. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is who would jump off the cliff first. Hotels have had a hard time recovering from the pandemic. Many hospitality workers remain unemployed as hotels cut back on services to save money. That's true. When we were away, there was no daily housekeeping. We could ask for them to come up and give us towels, but they weren't coming in and clean the rooms, which is fine. I don't want them in there anyway. As for me, kind of like the airlines, I'd rather pay the flat rate. Don't tell me. I know a lot of people, they want to see the fucking breakdown. It just angers me.
Yep.
You're charging me $20 to use your shitty internet? Ugh. $15 for this breakfast? Really? For this Danish? And these powdered eggs? Nay, nay. Just fucking charge me what you were going to charge me before. And I think most people are like I am.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just
it depends where you're going. I mean, if we're going on the road, I don't need the pool. The breakfast, maybe if there's a place around, we could skip that, So if they're going to itemize it, it's not a big deal. What I do love is all these charges that they have, surcharges that you don't know about, surcharges and taxes, which are a fortune. The hospitality tax I do get with hotels like in Atlantic City and Vegas and stuff like that, because we were having a rough time, so I get it.
Next, check out the tax to rent a car in Florida. Check out how much because they don't have any state income tax. So I get what they're doing, but if you want to go to Joe's point, if you want to rent a car in Florida, you're supplementing their lifestyle when you rent that car.
Right. But, if you want to, services, the services, I mean, internet I would want. Internet you want. Depending if there's restaurants around, you don't need the continental breakfast. Usually it's luck anyway. You're going to pay money for that. But, if you want to itemize it, fine,
See, I don't think a lot of people would need the internet because we do so much on our phones now. Depends how long you're there for. If you're there for a night or two, you don't need their internet. You can check your email on your phone.
I was just thinking, the Wi-Fi, what are you going to connect to?
You don't need to connect to Wi-Fi if you have your phone. You're using the Verizon or whoever you have cell towers.
Yeah, if they're close enough by.
If they're around, yeah.
Most people have coverage in most places.
Mm. Yeah, but sometimes you run those minutes up really, you run...
Well, most people have unlimited at this point. You just pay for the flat rate. Who the fuck... Are you still paying nights and weekends for free, Joe? Are you still on that plan?
No, I have a certain amount of minutes on the Wi-Fi that I can use.
You gotta get the unlimited data. It's much better. Get the unlimited data. You'll fucking live like a king, and it doesn't cost that much more. And they're competitive now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think
I'm looking to cut the bill down. I'm also looking to cut the bill down on the cable company. But it's like I love dealing with the cable company. It's like I want to cut this and this and this. It'll be more. How is it more?
Yeah, we just got rid of Stars and Showtime, which didn't really save us much money. But you know what? There's a series that just came out on Stars, and guess who's watching it on the fucking Fire Stick? Mm-hmm. This guy right here. Mm-hmm. It's always a fight. It's not always because the wife wants to cut down the cable. It's so expensive and everything. It's the cable. It's the landline. It's the internet. Am I arguing? The TV's all I have. I don't do anything. I don't go anywhere. I'm not going to concerts like I was. I'm not spending money on myself. It's all I have. Don't take this away from me. But it got taken away from me. But we still have HBO Max. I'm like, no, you got to keep the HBO Max. Mm. Got to keep the HBO Max. But, really, the Fire Stick helps a lot, which I gave you guys, but you guys don't use it. Anyway, so...
you know what? I just got to figure out how to... If you look in the back, if you see where the calendar is, and my background, right under it on the shelf where that little lamp is the Fire Stick. I know it works better if it's actually in the TV, but...
Yes. Yes. They say how it's going to save money for the consumer. It always costs the consumer more. Because they're not going to drop the price that much.
No, and it's only a matter of time before it creeps back up and past what it was. And now you have to pay a higher flat rate and all these a la carte charges.
Yeah, we've seen how this works out with the airline industry.
Right.
Yeah. Now you're paying to pick your seat. You're paying for a carry on. Mm-hmm. You're paying for extra legroom, and you're still paying a lot for the fucking basic fare.
Yeah.
It never works out for the consumer. No. This is a money grab. Just call it what it is. All right.
Yeah.
So we got one more week of summer this coming week. So this is, well, you know what? It's still warm in a lot of places, so you could do this a little staycation action here. This summer, so this is somebody's story. He came across a new website called Swimply, a company like Airbnb where people list their backyards and swimming pools for strangers to rent for the hour. So he tried it out. So when he went to the Swimply site to book a pool in New York area, he wasn't impressed with the options at first. So Swimply was founded in 2018, and it's in 25 cities around the U.S., including Phoenix, Tampa, Houston, Los Angeles. So you find nearby pools, you enter the location on the site, and you can select dates and times that work for you. When he searched for pools in New York City, there were only two pools available, and they had limited availability for the rest of the summer. So then he looked beyond the city. He went to Jersey and Long Island, places he could travel to. He found a pool in Long Island, and there was a dinosaur, and he didn't understand that. and a drunken hairy guy who blamed Joe for being there. Didn't know what that was about either. So he talked to the host to confirm the date and time, and like Airbnb, he couldn't immediately book the pool. They had a talk with the host and agreed to the rules and timing. The host chatted. The host was worried that he might throw a party at their home, and he assured them he wouldn't be. He was just bringing a few friends. They had to confirm the exact number of people who'd be coming, which he said was difficult. When he asked friends who wanted to join, some said maybe or asked them closer to the date. Nobody can fucking commit.
I know.
So he couldn't offer a concrete number, but he came up with five. So he booked the pool for Sunday afternoon for 3 hours for $270. The pool cost $64 an hour, so he booked 3 hours. It came with Wi-Fi and pool floats, but everything else was considered an add-on. So like every person after five people cost an extra $10, so it was ten people maximum. Access to the barbecue was $50, and usage of the fire pit was $40. And to bang the wife was free. Now, so he decided to add the barbecue to the booking, and the total came to $271, which included Swimply service fee. What, no?
Is that her name? Swimply?
Swimply, that's her name. She's a wet one. On the morning of the booking, the host sent a long list of rules as well as directions for accessing the backyard. So he invited the friends. They all had the same three questions. Will the host be home? Won't this be awkward? And where do we go to the bathroom? In the pool, stupid! What do you understand? You're paying for the chlorine in the pool.
Chlorine kills pee.
And if you got a deuce, well, there's the tomato garden right there. Fertilize, you motherfucker.
One of my favorite signs ever is don't pee in our pool. We don't swim in your toilet.
I know. That's a classic.
So his answer to those questions was, I don't know, but on the morning of the booking, he learned a bit more about the pool and the welcome message. Swimply sent a text message notifying him he had a message in the chat feature of their website. In that message, the host told him to park in the driveway, access the backyard through the side gate. She also said, told me glassware, pets, and smoking were strictly prohibited, but I'm a sovereign citizen. She also warned there were security cameras around the house used only for security purposes and to put on the internet. From Brooklyn to the Long Island, from the pool to Long Island was supposed to take an hour. Hour and 15 minutes, but there was traffic and it took 2 hours, and you still got off lucky.
Wow, getting on Long Island? That's odd.
Yeah. So he messaged the host through the app and told her he would be at least an hour late. She offered to extend the booking free of charge.
That was very gracious.
Very nice. The host told him she wouldn't be home when they arrived, so she left the gate open. He was nervous about accessing the backyard, especially as strangers. He imagined worst-case scenario where neighbors would see the four of us entering the fenced-in backyard and call the police. Luckily, Mrs. Kravitz doesn't live there. There's a date. Yeah.
Oh, no. I know that sound.
They loved the backyard. The backyard had an eating area, a bar, a fire pit, a large playground, and a giant swimming pool. The saltwater pool was 40 by 20 feet and went from 3 feet to 8 feet deep. This is a nice place.
Yeah.
This is not those bougie white. This is not the bougie white trash or the regular white trash ones I was telling you about. It was a turtle pool. I felt ripped off. It also had a diving board and a waterfall. I guess somebody else is rich in Long Island too, Joe.
Yeah, right?
I really am wondering about the dinosaur. Where'd it go? Yeah.
Once we got over the shock for the next 3 hours, they changed in the cramped porta potty. The owners, understandably, didn't want strangers trekking through the house. They got a porta potty for us to use during the booking. Though it was very clean, it was difficult to get changed into a bathing suit because of lack of space. Why wouldn't you come in a bathing suit?
Really? It's like you put the bathing suit under your clothes. Disgusting. Do you know how to do this
apparently,
at all?
Apparently not. So they had good weather, but Swipley does have policies in place in case it rains on the day you booked. They could have worked with the host to schedule for a different date and time free of charge, or Swimply's support team could also facilitate the rescheduling. They unpacked the food. They brought and put the meat in the cooler of the house, which the house provided. They spent 10 minutes of the booking cleaning up and making sure everything was the same way they found it. Swimply Host offers an extra 30 minutes at $35 to clean up so that it doesn't eat into your time to enjoy the backyard. But we didn't have much to clean up, so we just lost 10 minutes at the end, put everything together. When we were done, our host arrived, greeted us, and asked how everything went. Many of the friends thought it would be awkward swimming in the backyard. Our host stayed out of the way and gave us privacy. She left her phone number and a piece of paper on the bar in case we needed her, but otherwise she stayed completely out of the radar, only say goodbye as she exited the backyard. I'll tell you what, this backyard sounds really nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it, though.
Nope.
I don't think I could. I'd be worried about the cameras.
Yeah.
I'd be too self-conscious. I couldn't do. I don't even like swimming pools, but yeah.
Well, you don't swim.
I sink.
Swim. I'm not being a dick, but you know, I love pools. I love swimming. If I lived in the city, it's a lot cheaper than going out to the Hamptons, you know.
No, I could see the attraction. I think it's a cool service.
Yeah.
It's just not something I would do. And I wouldn't rent out my backyard either. Like, I wouldn't do Airbnbs. I don't want people in my place.
Nope.
Because you know what happens? You come into my place, I forget I made the appointment, and then I shoot you. And then you go outside, and I'm all fucking jacked up, and I keep on shooting you.
Keep shooting!
And now the law is involved. I just would rather avoid the whole situation.
I don't want people in my house. I don't even want me in my house. That's why I'm never here, you know? So it's like...
Your house is much too nice for you. I don't think you belong there.
Right, you know? And it's like I said, when my mom passed away years ago, I was going to fix up the house, and I go, I'm going to sell it, and all I want to do is I want to get someplace where I just come home, change, take a shower, and go out to do the next thing. And it took years, but I got it in the actual place that I wanted it. So, you know, there you go.
I do wonder how this affects home insurance policies.
I would wonder about that, too, because, you know, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, somebody hurts themselves on, somebody does bring a glass, they break it, they hurt themselves. You still
or they damage
sued.
The pool. They damage the pool.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that could go wrong with this scenario. I mean, you know, there's lots of people who very happily are like 5-star Airbnb people. You know, I'm sure that there are Swimply people that are just the same.
You know who does Swimply and has people do Swimply? The people that make U-turns in people's driveways while other people are watching. those are your Swimply people.
I don't care.
No,
you must get liability. You know, you probably got liability insurance, and it probably meets the margin of what they charge. But people don't realize that. One of my nephews, you know, the family's got a 400-acre farm upstate, and one of my nephews go, you know, maybe we'll have paintball. We'll have a paintball place here. So I go, did you think about the liability insurance you're going to have to get? I go, look into that before you even think of doing stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people don't think about.
Plus, my brother wouldn't go for that shit anyway, but it's the liability insurance.
So it's unappealing to Pip and I, but Joe would consider doing the old pool thing.
I would consider doing it. Sure, I love pools. I love being by the poolside. If it's just a weekend where you got a bunch of friends and you got a bunch of friends who are assholes that just want to chill and jump in a pool and be cool and stuff like that, why not?
So you're going alone, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do really like pools. My friend Carol moved to a 55-plus community, and they have a pool there. And I spent 2 days there, and we went in the pool twice. And I was just like, you know, a pig in you know what, because I really enjoyed.
Nobody wants a pig in the water.
It's great. I have one. Yeah. I have one here in my development. You know, and I love it, man. I jump in. It's like nice, a hot day. It's so nice to jump in. And I always wanted a pool.
Yeah.
I could afford it, whatever. So for the fact that I can come home and I've got a pool to jump in is it rules.
Well, the wife didn't want a pool until we started looking for houses. Now she wants a pool. But that's another story. I'd get the pool. I don't mind because I could jump in and jump out. But I went on vacation. I went in the pool to entertain my wife. Otherwise, I'm fine without the pool. Take me to the ocean. Let me go in, get smacked around by some waves, go on the beach, listen to my music, read a book. I'm happy. I don't need that much.
As you get older, I mean, it's like a chill. Like, I always wanted a pool. Now I got the pool down the road. Now I got to change. Now I got to go there. I got to jump in the water. I'm not going to be wet. Now I got to get home wet. I got to change. It's also with the beach. I love the beach. You know how much I love the beach? I'm at the point now. I got to load the car. I got to take it out. This van. I got to bring the blanket. And then the guy sets the tent up in front of me. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so I'm just getting to be crotchety, I guess. Watch TV, you know.
The pool would be good for when I'm done mowing the lawn. I jump in.
Yeah.
Jump in the pool, then I fucking read for a little while, and then somebody sees I'm relaxing, and that ends. But that's how I envision things. All right.
Oh, it was great. But when we were all at the fence company together, my buddy Ozzy, you know, his parents had a pool, so we, you know, a 90-degree day at the fence company, we'd all head to Ozzy's house, and jumping in that pool after a hot day putting in fence, it just felt so beyond good.
Yeah.
So freaking good when you jumped in there. It was great.
All right. Speaking of pools, we have one more pool story, and then we'll take our last break. Spencer Elden, the man who was photographed as a baby on the album cover for Nirvana's Nevermind, is suing the band, alleging sexual exploitation. The cover depicts Elden as a four-month-old in a swimming pool, grasping for a dollar bill that's being dangled in front of him on a fishing line. Now 30, Elden says his parents never signed a release authorizing the use of his image on the album. He also alleges the nude image constitutes child pornography. Look at my dinkle hanging out there. The image has exposed Spencer's intimate body part and lasciviously displayed Spencer's genitals from the time he was an infant to the present day. Legal papers filed in California claim non-sexualized photos of infants are generally not considered child pornography under U.S. law. However, Elden's lawyer, Robert Y. Lewis, argues that the argues that the inclusion of the dollar bill, which was superimposed after the photograph was taken, makes the minor seem like a sex worker. He was OnlyFans before there were OnlyFans. The legal case also alleges that Nirvana had promised to cover Elden's genitals with a sticker, but the agreement was not upheld. Why would you cover such a schmeckle? Elden alleges his true identity and legal name are forever tied to the commercial sexual exploitation he experienced as a minor, which has been distributed and sold worldwide from the time he was a baby to the present day. He claims he has suffered and will continue to suffer lifelong damages. As a result, the artwork, including extreme and permanent emotional distress, as well as interference with his normal development and educational progress, and medical and psychological treatment. He's asking for damages of at least $150,000. From each of the 15 defendants, who include surviving band members Dave Grohl, Chris Novoselic, the manager of Kurt Cobain's estate, Cobain's former wife Courtney Love, and photographer Kirk Weddle. Representatives for Nirvana and the labels have yet to respond. Elden has recreated the album cover several times as a teenager and adult, always wearing swimming trunks, to mark Nevermind's 10th, 20th, and 25th anniversaries. However, he has sometimes expressed ambivalence about the photo shoot. In 2016, he told Time magazine that he got a little upset about his notoriety as he grew older. I just woke up already being part of this huge project. Did you now, show off? It's pretty difficult. You feel like you're famous for nothing. Hey, Ron Jeremy made a career. It's hard not to get upset when you hear how much money was involved. He could do, aha. Mm-hmm. When I go to a baseball game and think about it, man, everybody at this baseball game has probably seen my little baby penis. Because I got to tell you. When I am watching the Yankees blow another lead in the ninth inning, I go, wow, speaking of blowing, I wonder about that little baby penis on the Nirvana album cover.
How'd that turn out?
or when I watch my Mets do the same thing and they're being assholes that I'm not a good fan, my mind immediately goes to that Nirvana album cover.
Sure, sure. When the Mets players turn their thumbs down at the fans, Joe immediately thinks, you know, that thumb looks like that baby's that baby penis on the Nirvana cover?
Oh, yeah. Because the Mets get upset when they have a shit West Coast trip, and suddenly if the fans are not pleased, well, it's not their fault.
Well, they weren't upset enough to win. But all right.
Two of them. He's out for money.
Hold on, let me finish. Because there's more. So he's thinking everybody's looking at, I feel like I got part of my human rights revoked. In other interviews, he's been more upbeat about the image. It's always been a positive thing and opened the doors for me, he told The Guardian 6 years ago. I'm 23 now and an artist, and this story gave me an opportunity to work with Shepard Fairey for 5 years. Which was an awesome experience. He's a huge music connoisseur. When he heard I was the Nirvana baby, he thought that was really cool.
In 2008, Spencer's father, Rick, recounted the photo shoot on U.S. radio network NPR, saying he'd been offered $200 to take part by Weddle, who was a family friend. "We just had a big party at the pool and no one had any idea what was going on. Then my baby's naked." The family quickly forgot the photo shoot until 3 months later, they saw the Nevermind album cover blown up on the wall of Tower Records in Los Angeles. 2 months after that, NPR's article, Geffen Records sent one-year-old Spencer Eldon a platinum album and a teddy bear. And a condom. The album, which included the hit Smells Like Teen Spirit, Come As You Are, Lithium, went on to sell 30 million copies around the world. Weddle, the photographer, said he's still in contact with Eldon and acknowledged he was conflicted about the picture. He feels that everybody made money off of it and he didn't, the photographer said. "I think he deserves something, but it's always record labels that make the money." So I asked this to the folks. I said, "The baby on the Nirvana Nevermind album cover has grown up and suing. He claims the nude image is child pornography. Is the album cover pornographic?" 12.5% said yes, it's pornographic. 87.5% said no. I do not think I do not think it is pornographic.
No.
Yeah.
I do understand. I don't buy the distress. I understand how it could affect somebody, but it doesn't seem like it really ever affected. Like, if you told me he's been struggling with this his whole life, you know, he didn't take all the pictures, he didn't talk about the benefits, I go, all right, this is traumatized.
Yeah.
This kid. I do agree.
Yeah,
I do think he should get something.
It would be nice if they had thrown him a bone.
Pip's got jokes too.
Huddla.
I wonder how the girl feels that was, Davin, you probably won't know the album, but Pip, I think you do. The girl that was on the cover of the Blind Faith album, you know, it was a teenage girl. She was topless, but I don't think it was pornographic. I think it was art, but I wonder how she feels.
She's okay about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, you know what? I really wish I could fuck the Nirvana baby penis.
Maybe I'll just take this phallic airplane symbol. Oh, wait, what? No,
I don't buy his "people know who I am." Nobody knows who. Like,
nobody has a fucking clue who you are.
It's let's be honest. Let's be honest. That's your pickup line. That's something you're putting in your Tinder profile.
Yep.
Let's be, because otherwise nobody's going. You know when she's blowing you, he goes, "You know what? I know this is our first time together, but that penis looks familiar." Hold on. Yeah. Let me put a dollar in front of you. Well, see it now. 30 years ago, you were the baby. Haven't grown much, I say. That's okay. I mean, no.
If it was so traumatic to him, how come there's three different pictures of him as an, you know, as various stages of being an adult?
Well, he did put on pants.
That's traumatic.
Yeah, that's the problem. He kind of undercuts himself. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, I believe this could be traumatic. I believe he was done dirty by his parents.
Yeah.
His parents made this decision for him.
Right.
Obviously, a two-month-old can't consent.
But you know what? It's like, people used to take pictures before we became like, oh my God, you know. But people used to take pictures of their naked infants, and nobody thought.
It was adorable. It was cute.
Yeah, you know, like, there was always the picture.
If I was going to be on a million selling album like that, they could put my asshole on that. I wouldn't care.
They, you know, people used to have the it's supposed to be the bear rug, you know, and there's naked baby on it, and like Brooke Shields was the baby in those ads for Coppertone,
yeah.
And the dog is pulling down her little baby, you know, bikini bottom. It's like nobody went, oh yeah, go for it, doggy. I mean, you fucking purr.
Actually, that was above that image was above Joe's bed. He didn't have the Farrah Fawcett poster. He had that.
Mine too.
Yeah.
But the thing is, to say that it's child pornography is just really gross.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw the dollar go, that baby's a sex warrior. That baby's crawling the streets.
No. And he was fucking nobody until he started walking around telling everybody and repeatedly showing up and, you know, being in the pictures every year to commemorate the picture. Weak sauce.
He undercuts himself. I do think this could traumatize somebody.
It could.
I don't think it traumatized this guy. Of course, I'm not in a psyche, but I do think he
I do think he should get something.
Yeah.
Somebody. Like a teddy bear and a platinum album? You know, like...
Well,
like,
that's what they're probably going to... That's probably what they're going to do. Somebody probably whispered in his ear that he can make money off these guys. Nirvana still sells records. The Foo Fighters sell a shit ton. So Dave Grohl's probably got deep pockets, and the estate, Nirvana probably does. So, it's like, we'll bring this up. We'll settle out of court for something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it probably makes sense for them all to make it go away. Now, I don't know if all the 15 defendants have the type of money that Dave Grohl or Chris Novoselic have. I mean, for some of them, it might be a little bit much. But, Dave Grohl seems... Dave Grohl seems like a good guy. I feel like he should just call him up and go, listen, man, sell us out of court. Because you got to remember, when Nirvana put that album out, they already had an album, Bleach, which went nowhere. Nobody gave a shit about Bleach. It was on an independent thing. And Nirvana swept in grunge. Before grunge, it was all hair metal and everything. So it wasn't like they were going to pay this guy top notch. It wasn't like this was the Rolling Stones, who were like already kings. And you know what? Pay the baby. Pay the fucking baby. Pay his college tuition. You know, like, here's $100,000 for his college tuition. Nirvana was nobody.
They had no idea it was going to be that huge.
You know what? Grohl might call him and go, hey, look, man. We'll give you this amount, we shake hands, go away. And that's probably what's going to happen, and this guy probably knows it too, So, I mean, it's traumatic. No, it's not traumatic because nobody knew who you were. I mean, we know now because you decided to jump in the pool and take four more photos at various stages of your life. So, it's on you too.
Yeah,
if I was traumatized, I definitely wouldn't be telling people. If I wasn't traumatized, I'd be telling everybody.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
and I don't know if you know this, the upside down guitar in the Boston album cover is suing as well. He wasn't, that was not his likeness. He was not pleased.
Wait, what did he say?
I didn't hear.
What was it? Speak up.
The upside down guitar on the Boston album cover is suing as well.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, thank God that went. Holy shit. All right. Thank you.
Well, you're really low tonight. Your mic is low tonight, so I'm really trying to focus in on hearing you. And that time we just didn't.
We just didn't hear.
I'm like, all right, I'm paying the price. But,
all right.
It got a little traction.
All right. So we all agree should get something, but this is a little much. Yeah. We're not buying the angle.
No.
Right. Poor shit.
And now we all know who had the baby penis.
Baby penis. Well, it is kind of a good line because he could be like, why was the Nirvana baby? Oh, no kidding. You want to see how it turned out?
Yeah.
Look,
it's a grower and a shower.
I was in a pool. There was shrinkage.
Right, the Costanza. All right.
That's the line. That's the line.
Thank you.
It means a lot coming from Mr. Punny over there. Enjoy your fucking award for comedy.
I've been the pun king tonight, my friend.
Yes. Yes. And with credentials like that, you're bestowing a comedy award on Pip. It means so much to her.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. You get a yak-a-lack for that,
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Pip is holding, for those who are just listening, a Pure Leaf iced tea bottle.
Yes.
It's as good an award as any.
It's a fine award. All right, enough of that shit. On the break, we got new music from Amico with Heroes and Lori. That's all. It's just Lori. It's no Lori something. It's Lori.
Okay.
With I'm Still Here. So you got Amico with Heroes, Lori with I'm Still Here. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, we shall do some scamming scammer. Short break. We'll be back.